Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast. It's Monday, November 3rd, the day before Election Day in the United States of America. I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'm not going to talk about that because you've fucking heard enough about it from people just yammering on and on. So I'm going to let you enjoy this one without even mentioning politics any further. Certainly not the election. I would like to start by saying that Wednesday night, so today is Monday the 3rd, Wednesday night, November 5, I'm doing a Zoom comedy show where I'm going to do 20 minutes of, we'll see what happens. I think I have some ideas, I have some jokes. I'm going to try to make people laugh, try to give them their money's worth for whatever they're paying for that Zoom show. And you can find more information about that Zoom show at Finely Crafted Comedy. Finely Crafted Comedy is where you'll find more information about that show. I hope to see you online. Usually when I've done this show in the past, the money goes not to the performers so much. Actually, they're very generous to the performers. I don't know how they do it, quite frankly. It's almost like they are independently wealthy outside of doing comedy. But they are very generous with their money, and most of the ticket sales in the past shows I've done have gone to a good cause. So it's probably not more than $5 or so. Nor should an online show really be much more than that, because you're doing all the work, right? You're pouring the booze, you're getting dressed, you're brushing your teeth, that sort of thing. And you're joining, right? And anyway, Finely Crafted Comedy, it's usually comedy for a cause. That'll be Wednesday night. I hope not to be super rusty, but like, last time I did a show was the one where, that Friday night I bombed my balls off, and then Saturday night I had a real good time. And I haven't done anything since then, and that was, I don't know, maybe a month ago. So, that's that. The second thing I wanted to say right at the beginning is, if you're listening to this podcast, and you are, and I'm grateful for that, and you say to yourself, you know what, I like it except for that, or it's going well and sometimes that, I want you to know I am aware of the faults of this podcast. I want you to know that I'm aware of them, and I am working on addressing them. I have a process in place that hopefully will allow me to make the podcast better so it's a more entertaining product for you, the listener, because that is my goal, is to entertain the listener. But I'm not going to articulate all the things that I think are wrong with it, or the two primary things, or whatever. But I just want you to know, I'm aware. I'm not just idly trying not to attend to my shortcomings. I don't want to reinforce them for myself by talking about them. I don't want to do that. My parents have been in town, and they're leaving tomorrow. So then I will go on the wagon. No, it's been a great time having them here. We had my wife's mom in 2 weeks ago, and my folks have been here for the last three nights. Tonight's their final night. And it's been great. They've had a great time with the baby, and the baby's been a star. They also were going for a walk with my wife and the baby the other day when they saw my neighbor who listens to this podcast. I don't know if he's listening to this one, but four of them, parents. Oh, parents. It was my mom. And for people who've listened to past podcasts, it was my stepdad. They're still together all these years, even after he taught me how to juggle. He's not a person who loves to laugh at himself, so I didn't bring it up. I have not brought it up. Maybe tonight I'll get a little whiskey under my belt and fucking say, dude, what the hell were you thinking? Teaching me how to juggle? Were you a pillow? Or that stepdad, also described, as you know, by a listener of the podcast in a note to me as my mom's, quote, slam piece. Also, I did not convey that to him. Hey, you're not going to guess what, I don't have that podcast. This person said, actually, you're my stepdad, you're so much more. You're my mom's slam. And of course, like I said, it's true because they had two more kids. They had two kids of their own, so there must have been at least two events supporting that contention from my listener. So thank you very much, listener. But the four of them were going for a walk, and they bumped into my neighbor who listens to this podcast. And he said, to my wife, where's your husband? And she said, he's back at home working or doing something. He's not coming out on this walk with us. He's enjoying some him time. And he said, in front of my baby, and in front of my mom and her slam piece, my neighbor who listens to the podcast said, oh, well, you better check his browser history when you get home. What? Which is essentially like him telling my mom, who he's never met, he's essentially saying, nice to meet you. My name is, and when my wife takes her mom and slam piece and kid for a walk, I stay home and touch myself to completion. That's what he should have just said to my mom, except much more graphically. But it's Monday morning, so I don't want to do that. I thought that was an interesting approach, neighbor who listens to this podcast. Now I feel for the poor guy, because every interaction, you know, if he hears this, he's going to be like, you need to put that on your dumb little podcast. And you know what? Yeah, I am. And I'm going to come up with a name for you that I think will be appropriate so I can refer to you without using your real name. Listeners, let me know what you think it is, what you think that name is. But yeah, he said to my wife, oh, well, make sure when you get home you check his browser history. My wife thought that was pretty interesting and passed that along to me. What I did not ask my wife is what my mom and her husband thought about it. They probably were just, you know, I don't know. I haven't been in the South in a while, and that's just how this guy talks. Anyway, I appreciate him listening. And he also, you know what he does also, is he will, I'll bump into him, and he'll just give me shit about something I said on the podcast. Or he'll be supportive and say, you know, that makes good sense. You know what you said about the Dutch, how we all sleep on how criminal they are? But anyway, now I know really what it boils down to, and we all know, everyone who's listening, is my neighbor, when his wife goes out and takes their kids, he watches other people defile themselves. And that doesn't, I don't mean that judgmentally. I mean it just descriptively, like that's just what they do for his entertainment. And then what he does is he pulls on a part of his body until he experiences a form of relief that he was seeking. That's just what he was telling that to my mom, which, if you listen to the last episode, is probably worse than throwing a cup of coffee on her car. Very interesting approach, neighbor. But he's trying to get it in like we all are. My parents have been great. I refer to my, it's easier just to say that's my dad. He's been my dad for whatever number of years, 30 odd. And then say, and that's my stepdad, which I used to say. And at times, like, he's not my fucking dad. That's my stepdad. But I also, you know, he went to a really good school. He went to Princeton University. And I, at times when I was a kid, would say, and my stepdad went to Princeton. Like, I thought somehow that would reflect well on me. And let the record reflect, I did not go to Princeton. I dropped out of high school and multiple colleges before, years and years later, limping across the finish line to getting, well, not limping, but finally got it. I finished strong, my bachelor's, from a state school in California. But he went to Princeton, and there have been times where I was like, oh, yeah, when I was, you know, even more insecure, like 13 years old. Yeah, my stepdad went to Princeton, which doesn't reflect well on me. Not like, yeah, I come from that stock. What that means is my mom fucking was like, I'm trading up. This guy's got some prospects, as they say. So I'm going to link up with him. It's been a great visit. The only thing that they do, I shouldn't say the only thing, the primary thing they do with the baby that I don't like is they always, and it's primarily my mom, tell her what she's experiencing. Right? Oh, she's tired. Oh, maybe she didn't have enough nap. And the baby's just like living, right? There are highs and lows being a baby. But they're like, oh, they're always it would make me so self-conscious and anxious to have someone always telling me how I felt. And all I can say is, what it reminds me of is, have you ever been smashed and someone's telling you how smashed you are? Like, dude, you are fucked up. And like, I know that's what I want to be. But I remember I used to have an associate, not a friend, an associate. Really, we went to the same bar. And he was that guy who always loved to tell people when they were drunk, dude, you're pretty messed up right now. Or like, it's like, yeah, dude, I'm having a good time. So why don't you fuck off and not make, I'm trying to reduce the self-consciousness in my head by getting ripped. I don't need you to remind me. What's next? Are you going to tell me to call my mom? Ask me how, you know, my grades are? God. Dude, you're pretty fucked up right now. I know. That's why I'm here. That's why we're all here. So stop being a... If you have a friend who does that, you should cut them out of your lives. Don't you think? Dude, you are so high right now. Yeah, why don't you stay in your own lane and focus on you right now? I'm doing me. I am high as a kite, high as a Georgia pine. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. So, one more night with the folks. They are here through tonight. They do not stay with us because we have a small house. And frankly, they have better taste than our house yields or accommodates, I guess is a way to say that. So, they stay a few minutes up the road. And they leave tomorrow. And I think when they leave, I will go on. I'm going to take a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to take a 4-night break from drinking because I am filming something, as I mentioned last time. I'm filming something on Saturday and Sunday. And maybe if I have residual bloat or I look waxy like a drinker, I don't know. I'm going to be on film and I want to look my best. And I want to give my best. I want to give my best to the project. I want to give my best to the work, to the piece, to the work. So I read my script last night, director, and I am once again cast as a white man who exists so black people can exact revenge on him through him as a vessel of hurting white people. A role I'm happy to play time and time again. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I know I mentioned last time that right at the beginning of the George Floyd killing protests, I was asked, hey, can you come play a cop tonight in this thing? $400, $200, whatever it was. No, I can't. I know I mentioned that, but on another occasion during the pandemic, someone reached out, as they said, and asked me if I would come do a day's work on a small film in which I played a schizophrenic who was both Obama and Trump. And I, in the summer of 2020, for the sake of the work, for the craft, for the peace, wore a Make America Great Again hat. I was, as far as I could tell, I was one of maybe 3 non-black people on this entire production. And I'm standing there with a fucking, as George Floyd's body is laying in a Minneapolis street, I am sitting there with a fucking Make America Great hat on my get. Make America Great hat. Make America Great Again hat on. And, you know, it's probably good training for working tough rooms because they handed me the hat. They're like, here you go, motherfucker. And I said, oh, shit, you got me a hat? You didn't need to do that. I brought my own. I said that, actually, and they all laughed, and then they beat me up. Everyone was very nice on that project, and I had a great time. But I can't really, I didn't think I could do an Obama impression, and I certainly didn't think I could do a Trump impression, but they were all very excited, and I must take credit, I miss, sorry, give credit to whoever I was doing those impressions based on. So Damian Turner, probably. Damian, if you're still listening, thank you for shaping my Obama impression. It probably is based on, I don't know, but it's not that good. And it's based on whoever was the most popular impression of Obama, maybe that I remember, Key and Peele, or I don't know where it came from, but that's solely where I drew my inspiration from, where I... And then for Trump, I think I was just doing whoever that is, Daryl Hammond. I don't know, whoever I was doing, it was also Trey Dunn. So it was two Atlanta comics, I think, who inspired my impressions. It was Damian Turner, who inspired me to, who informed the work of my work of Obama. And then Trey Dunn inspired me. Or informed my interpretation of... Who gives a fuck? I agree. But it was interesting in that I was in this entirely, overwhelmingly, horrifying, scary, all black... I was in this largely black production having to, A, do a terrible job impersonating Barack Obama, and then B... putting on a goddamn Make America Great hat on. But they loved it, I think, or they were very, very nice, and I made a few friends with whom I'm still in touch, which means that I can say, no, I have several more black friends than I did, than that one. But this time around, I am doing a character who is going to take it on the chin, as they say. And I thought it'd be nice if I showed up at the production without bloat. If I looked, you know, a little invigorated. So that'll be this weekend. Where was I going with that? I wasn't going anywhere, I guess. I wasn't going anywhere with that, and it's obvious, so I should stop. But I am looking forward to it. I am looking forward to it. And I feel better when I don't drink. I mean, I don't feel better... And I am when I'm fucked up. The sleep. Okay, old man, take it easy. One other thing I wanted to mention is people, you know, they say about their kids, like, you don't want to be do as I say, not as I do. I get it. You don't want to be a hypocrite, but I totally get why you do it, because on the one hand, you want to be your petty self. And on the other hand, you don't want your kid to be petty like you. So the instinct, if you're trying to preserve that wall, would be to protect your pettiness, your petty behavior from your kids, which of course you can't do. I'm challenged because I want my daughter to be great, and she can't be because she's gonna grow up being my child. The catch is, I think my wife has enough greatness in her that will bump her over to that side, but she's learning so much about the world from me, and so there's just a ceiling on how great, I mean, my ceiling's already established, there's a ceiling on how great I can be. And so, obviously, there's a ceiling on how great she can be. But I want her, I've always felt, I want her to see my authentic pettiness, my authentic immaturity. But that's not a good idea, because then I'm making an asshole, which I'm already doing unconsciously. But if I'm saying, no, I want her to see this horrible behavior in myself, then I'm normalizing it for her, right? And as an example, I realized this the other day. We live on a street where lots of people walk their dogs, and occasionally, though it's gotten much more rare, occasionally I will find some dog shit on my front yard, on my front lawn, my patch of grass. I will find some dog poop there, which means that one of my fellow countrymen was walking their dog, who then shat itself on my grass, and my countryman said, you know what? He can deal with that. Which I get, dude. It's the most, that's the most American thing. That's American. Is here, you know what? I'm going to shit on your grass. You deal with it. I get it. I get why it happens, but I still don't like it, right? So what I do is, the quick math in my head is, you know what? That is not, it's my problem now. It's my situation. But the dog shit is really doesn't have anything to do with me. It originates from another dog who belongs to one of my countrymen. And that countryman determined that they would have their dog shit on my grass and leave it there. Fuck him. He can deal with it. So what I do is I don't pick it up and put it in the trash can, which somebody would do. I don't leave it there. And if I see the person, I will pick it up and throw them at them. I have done that before. But what I do most of the time is I kick the shit out into the street, which I think is pretty petty. But I also think is how the world works. I feel like, much like a financial institution who was bailed out during, let's say, the financial crisis, the beginning of COVID, I feel like what I'm doing is I'm socializing my losses. That's what it's called, right? I privatize my gains, right? Goldman Sachs privatizes their gains. But when they need help, when they go into the fucking hole, when they made a bunch of bad bets, and they need to be bailed out, they go to the federal government. And they get bailed, or Warren Buffett. And they get bailed out. Their losses become not just their problem, their losses become everybody's problem. And that's what I figure I am doing when I'm... If I have shoes on that I like, I generally don't kick it out. So I will find... This is how petty it is. I will find some tool, a large, sturdy leaf, a piece of cardboard, anything, and I will flick the dog shit out into the street, which increases the chance that one of my countrymen is going to walk by and step in it and go, where the fuck did this dog shit come from? And I just made someone else's day worse, which I don't like. And it's very petty to do, but I feel like it's the most economically rational thing. And I feel like in American society, that's what matters most, is doing the most self-serving, economically rational thing. Picking it up and putting it in the trash can is me just eating that person's loss. Eating the loss on my end. It doesn't make any sense for me to do that. If I socialize it, I'm doing what the environment determines. But I don't like it. I don't feel good about it. And you're listening like, yeah, because you're a fucking asshole. I get it. I agree 100%. But I have in my head this idea that, okay, people will then walk by the street and say, wow, I just stepped in dog shit. What a crappy neighborhood we live in where people leave dog shit on the street. And I think to myself, exactly, that's the story that I want to be told. This is a neighborhood where people let their dogs shit publicly and they don't pick up the dog shit. But I don't want, because that's the truth. That's what I don't want. I don't want anybody in this neighborhood to think that it is anything other than a neighborhood of people who let their dogs shit publicly. Because you, and I don't want to say you don't think anything else besides that. You have to think that. Sorry. the caffeine is now coursing through my system and I'm struggling to put all the pieces together in my head. When people think of my neighborhood, I want them to say it's beautiful, there are some very nice homes, and also it's a neighborhood where people allow their dogs to shit publicly and they don't pick it up. And really, if you shit on my grass, it's shitting privately, I guess. That's all I want, is I just want clarity. I don't want them to think that it's not that as well. So I put that out there. And it's petty. It's so petty. I wouldn't tell my wife that I do that. That's how petty it is. I mean, I would if she asked me. Do you do that? Yes, I do that. If asked, I would lie by omission. I wouldn't lie by commission. I wouldn't tell her that I don't do that. If she asked, I would tell her. But to me, that makes sense. And I know it, but I know it's wrong, right? Or I believe it's wrong, but it makes sense to me. It's the thing that it gives me a feeling of justice that I didn't have to eat that loss. Fuck it. The world will eat that loss. Well, what happens subsequent to that? Everybody's throwing dog shit out in their yard? I mean, out in the street? Yeah. That's what happens until somebody picks up the dog shit, I guess. But I don't want my daughter to see this. So the other day when I was going to do it, also years ago, maybe 5 years ago, a little kid, or smallish kid, probably less than 11 years old, was walking his dog who took a shit in front of my house in the street. And I just walked out and said, dude, what the fuck? Are you going to pick that up? And he ran, and then he got scared. And I might have even did like, hey, old man yell. And then he came back and he said, I was going to pick it up. Of course you were. You were going to go for a 3 mile walk and then come back and pick it up. I get it, dude. I would do the same fucking thing. But he picked it up. Anyway, flash forward 5 or 6 years later. And he looks like The Rock. He went through puberty and he's much bigger than your host. And, I let him shit all over. And it's probably his dog that shits on my grass. But it's funny when those kids grow up, they're you know, looking at you like, you and I both know. But this happened the other day, and I didn't want my daughter to see me doing it. So I distracted her. But because she's 2 years old, she pretty frequently checks in, no matter what she's doing, with what a parent's doing, what I'm doing. Especially if it's in a kind of situation where I'm near the edge of the grass by the curb. I thought she was kicking a ball and then ran in the driveway to do a little task, and I could run over and I could scoop the dog shit out. But as I bent down to like force it into the street, I had to get like some piece of garbage to do it, which of course I had to hide from her as well. Oh no, I'm going into the garbage. Dad, I don't get it. You always tell me to close. Once you put it in the trash, close it and move on. That's what I tell her. Because she went through a phase where she's, you know, she opens the sliding trash can and it's like, whoa, this is crazy. I want to stare in there and see all the grimy coffee grinds and banana peels and shit. So she sees me going into the trash, like, this is unusual, leader, inconsistent message giver. And I'm like, no, it's fine. The only time you go into the trash, sweetie, is when you're going to get a tool that is going to allow you to shovel another person's dog's shit into the street where it doesn't belong. That's the only time. So I thought I had her distracted, but as I'm bending down to scoop the shit into the street, I catch her looking at me. So I do the old, no, I'm tying my shoe. Oh, hey, sweetie, no, this is normal. I like to tie my shoe over here. And, right, they're like slip-ons, right? I wear shoes. My Chuck Taylors don't need to be tied. They just slip right on. But there I was. And that was a moment I was like, I need to check myself. I need to have, like I said, I need to have a mission statement for this. I need a mission statement for what kind of parent I'm going to be. And you know how the story ends? And with a whimper. But you know how it ends? I put her in the house and say, hold on one sec, I'll be right there. And then I go flick the shit out into the street, and I feel much better. That's the only sense that so now I get, like, the do as I say, not as I do. Which is the thing that I, and you can hear it on these podcasts, that eats me alive more than anything else is hypocrisy. And there I am being a hypocrite, but at the same time, getting a measure of justice for it. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I tell myself. I appreciate you listening. I just wanted to say hello on this Monday morning. Tomorrow is election day, and I'm curious to see if we will ever know who wins. Also, I've done some further reflection after the last podcast, and I have to be a better comic and make a joke about my daughter not wanting her first word to be the N-word. But I've done a little reflecting on that, and you know what? Every white parent should want that for their daughter. Every white parent in the audience should be like, yes, oh my God, I know. I wouldn't want that word to be her first word either. So I'm just going to lean into it. I have to. What do I have to lose? Nothing. If you want to be as good as the very best, if you want to be Dave Chappelle, you got to say shit that it's going to pick. Okay. I don't want to. All I need to do is just lean into it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Every white parent should be elated when their daughter's first word is not the N-word. And if you can't understand that, making it, then maybe some other time we'll talk about why people are so tense these days and uncomfortable when Bill Burr makes a joke about John Wayne from 500 years ago. It's because nationally we cannot laugh at ourselves. We have a national insecurity that prevents us from being able to laugh at ourselves. Therefore, everything that is not consistent with what we want to believe is a threat, particularly if we don't have a good grasp of how strong we feel about that thing. Right? If I say fuck your religion, you should be like, yeah, whatever, dude. It's not going to change how I feel about it. Which, you know what, is how the truly religious feel. I have a friend who's very religious, and if I said, dude, fuck your religion, he'd be like, well, that's not exactly nice to say, but I'm not going to, he wouldn't. That's why we can't laugh at ourselves. Now what is this turning into, like a chicken soup for the soul kind of thing? Anyway, I will talk to you very soon. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it.